Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Sports and Religion. I'm William Rameau, and of course, on the other line is my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing good. Glad to have you here on what most likely will be the last show of the season. You know, I'm glad for your support and everybody's support, you know, over the years. You know, I want to wish everybody an early Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a Happy New Year. So, you know, I of course, you know, I want to thank you guys for listening. You know, we're going to talk sports and entertainment and everything else as always. You know, we're going to talk about the Knicks, how they've been doing well lately prior to the Piston game on Friday night. We're going to talk about the Jets and the Giants as they try to close out their seasons as they're currently in game in week 16. Also going to talk about WWE, the Clash of the Champions pay-per-view event. The hot stove with the Mets and the Yankees, and of course, most importantly, you know, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk any of these topics and more. And without further ado, you know, let's start the show, man. Let's talk about these Knicks, man. Beasley, he's been put on the show lately. You know, he had the, 32-point game a few days ago when Porzingis literally had the worst performance of his career so far, you know, literally scoring 1 point. And, Beasley had his season high, I think it was 32 points. Beasley's been a beast, you know, with the Knicks, man. He can't be stopped. He played well yesterday also, and Porzingis he rebounded from that 1 point game. I think Porzingis finished off with at least 30 points in the other game Friday night's game. But unfortunately, it wasn't enough as the Knicks fell 104-101 in the Palace of Auburn Hills. And of course, when you think of the Palace of Auburn Hills, you think of Ron Artest, which we should have made him sign a 1 day contract. Maybe we could have won this game, you know. Rough these Pistons up a bit, you know. But the Knicks played well except for the defense at times. In the third quarter, I think they went on a 14-0 run to take the lead. To take the lead, and then of course late in the fourth they had a 4 point lead. I think with less than a minute to go, but you know, they had Swiss cheese defense, and they let the team come back and defeat them. So
yeah.
I mean, the Knicks have been playing well, but you know, they're gonna try to beat the 76ers on Christmas. So what's your thoughts on the state of the Knicks right now?
Well, you know, they're much better at this point in the season than I thought they would be. Right now, they're 17-15. They're in the eighth spot. You know, Beasley, like you said, he's been playing, you know, really well. Probably could be sixth man of the year. You know, he had that 32-point game against the Celtics. He had that 23-point game against Hornets. And even played well against the Thunder when Carmelo came back to the Garden. So, yeah, he's been doing a good job for us off the bench, and you know, we've been doing pretty good, especially with injuries to Porzingis and Hardaway. you know, so we're staying afloat right now. But I like this team, you know. They're not going to win the championship, but they're definitely a playoff contender.
Yeah, absolutely. They're definitely making Papa John's lose a lot of money because, you know, every time the Knicks score 100 points, you know, the fans, you know, get, what, half off of their pizza? I mean, I haven't capitalized on it yet, but.
I have three pizzas already.
But, yeah, they've been, you know, the Knicks, they've been, you know, they've been playing well, and I think the record is prior to Friday night, they were 8-0, you know, when they held the team under 100 points. No, wait, actually, it still continues because they score 101. The other team score 101, so the record of them holding a team, you know, under 100, they're still 8-0 because the Knicks unfortunately gave up 104 points. So, you know, when you give up 104 points in a game, there's a 99.9999% chance you're gonna lose that game. So
yeah, sure.
You know, so is that a surprising stat? It's like saying, you know, the team that scores 1 point more than the other, that team wins. It's like, thank you, something obvious. You know, so. You know, but, you know, the Knicks are playing well, you know. Cantor, man, he's been, this guy, he's been playing like an all-star lately. He's been like a walking double-double, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's our inside guy, you know. He rebounds. He gives us that big presence in the paint. He posts up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, he's been a savior for us.
Absolutely. And Porzingis, you know, he needs to stay healthy. You know, Porzingis and Cantor, they've been the MVPs of the team. I know the fans were chanting MVP Beasley. I mean, he's like you said, he's the sixth man of the year. You know, he's been phenomenal, and you know, he's been playing better with his defense, which was always his kryptonite. So, you know, you got to definitely give the man a lot of credit. He's definitely playing well. And you can see Neil Aquino, he's being more confident, you know, with his shooting abilities. I mean, his defense and, you know, his passing abilities, you know, he had that ability like Chris and Cliff Paul, you know, from the State Farm commercial. You know, they were born to, you know. But, you know, I got to give the young guy credit, man. He's really doing his thing, you know.
He's improving.
Oh, what were you saying?
He's improving.
Yeah, he definitely is, you know. So, you know, hopefully that, you know, they could keep it up for sure. Because, you know, we definitely need something to cheer about with the Knicks. I mean, they've been playing well, but like you said, unfortunately they're not winning a championship anytime soon, especially with the Warriors and the Cavaliers still in the NBA, so.
Oh yeah,
you know, but you know, we have some, you know, we're gonna still suffer some growing pains, but at least, you know, we got some diamonds in the rough, you know. So hopefully we can entice some free agents for a change to try to change the culture of the team, you know, similar to the Melo trade and Stoudemire. You know,
well, the Knicks are exciting to watch right now, so you know you gotta enjoy this team. They're young, they're fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to be patient right now.
Kind of remind me of the Baby Bombers, you know, this past year, you know. And, of course, they're rumored to be getting Garrett Cole without even giving up Torres. Shocker. Yankees are rumored to get everybody without even giving up their top prospect or prospect. I mean, it's like if the Yankees offered a team a bag of beans, they would take it, thinking that they would grow beans. I mean, come on. It's like I'm the only person that knows this.
That should be a good pickup for the Yankees.
Yeah, the Giants from Jack and the Beanstalk. I heard he threw a hard. But yeah, Garrett Cole. I mean, he's a good pitcher. I mean, I wouldn't give up Frazier for him or Torres. Which, knowing the Yankees, they don't have to give up nobody of value. You know, maybe they could trade
the
right
to me.
What are you saying?
That's good with me. As long as we don't have to give up any major pieces, I'm good with it.
Well, if I was a Yankee fan, too, I wouldn't mind either, to be honest.
Yeah, it shouldn't be.
I wouldn't be, but unfortunately, you know, I root for the other team in town, you know, but eventually they'll win a title, you know, if they could just stay healthy. And, you know, they're rumored to re-signing Cologne to a minor league deal, but obviously that's not official yet. And, you know, Mets, apparently, Fred Wilpon, there was a report, I don't remember which paper it was, but there was a report that Fred Wilpon was PO'd about the Stanton trade because apparently it would make him, you know, him and the front office look cheap with the Yankees, you know, like splurging on, you know, another, you know, top free agent. And in related news regarding the Yankees getting a top player, the sun rised up earlier today. I mean, come on. I mean, it happens all the time. I've been on Earth for like, what, 34 years? I mean, the Yankees always get their guy, man. Like,
he should be used to it now, man.
He should be used to it. I mean, come on. Does he know what city he's in? You gotta spend. I mean, the Yankee fans, in the eyes of the Yankee fans, there's only two New York teams. There's the Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. And wasn't them gonna use money? I know they had, you know, they suffered a bit from the Madoff situation. They denied that it's affecting them right now, but with a team coming off 92 losses, you know, they gotta use their money. They gotta go after either Hosmer or Moustakas. You know, they gotta improve this team.
The Mets are a big organization, but sometimes they act like they're a small organization. I don't get it. Like,
small market.
You know, you play in one of the biggest markets in the world, and you act like you're a small market team. I mean, come on, man. Like,
exactly.
You're in the same city as New York. You should be, as the Yankees, you should be spending money, going out, getting free agents. Mm-hmm. And there was a time that the Mets did do that during the 2000s, the early 2000s. They tried to go out, get free agents, and build their team, you know.
All right.
But,
you're right.
I don't know what's going on.
You're absolutely right. When they got, when they signed Beltran and Pedro, 05, that changed the complexion of the team. And,
yeah,
of course, in 2015, they traded for Cespedes, which, you know, that gave them a jolt and catapulted them into the World Series, unfortunately in a losing effort. But it changed, it temporarily changed the culture and the complexion of the team. You know, all those horrible losing seasons, you know, the collapses of 07 and 08, you know, finally they had a championship caliber team, but unfortunately it was the Royals' year. So the Mets, I mean, it was just 2 years ago they were in the World Series. It seems like at least 5 years ago. You know, all these injuries, destroying Harvey and you know, Syndergaard didn't complete the season. Matz's, you know, he's always hurt. You know, now they're in huge need for pitching. That's why, you know, I'm all in favor for Cologne signing with the Mets, you know, on a minor league deal. You know, what it can't hurt them, you know, taking a shot at him.
Yeah, you're right.
But, shifting gears with the Jets, they're taking a shot with Bryce Petty. You know, he's going to continue to start tomorrow, you know, obviously as a result of McCown injuring, you know, breaking his arm, you know, his hand, you know, had season-ending surgery. You know, basically they're going to battle Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. And of course, that's going to be a loss for them. Unfortunately, that's my team, but I gotta be real. You know,
well, Chargers, you know, they're 7-7. They're currently in that playoff hunt, so they're going to look to get this game. But Jets, played well in that game versus the Saints last week. I thought defensively they did a good job. And they were in that game, you know, for a while there. So, you know, the Jets could play spoilers tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You're definitely right. It's possible. I mean, they are at home, you know. So, you know, they definitely got to give the fans something to cheer about, for sure. So
yeah,
hopefully they could pull up this upset. But, you know, I doubt it. But, you know, hey, that's why we play the game. You never know. Anything is possible.
Yeah, exactly.
They better hope Phillip Rivers is having a horrible game.
Well, the good thing is Phillip Rivers is not a great – he's not great on the road. That's the thing with him. So, you know. So, hey, Jets – I could see Jets pulling an upset tomorrow. I said it here. Jets could win this game tomorrow.
I sure hope so. And then not to mention they're going to oppose the guy who has Chandler, who has, like, he leads the league in sacks, I think, with 15.
Yeah.
So – it's going to be a tough game for Bryce Petty. So, you know, we'll see what happens, man. Hopefully they can pull it off. And then they're going to be facing the Patriots the week after that. So, yeah, this if they're going to get a W, this has to be the game that they get the W, because, you know, facing the Patriots is never easy. So, even though they did play well for the most part in that, you know, that game they had earlier this year. But, yeah, they're going to be facing the Patriots so next week. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow should be a – yeah, tomorrow could be a game that the Jets wake up for, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, on the Giants side, you know, Giants are going to try to and yes, back to the Jets quickly. You know, the Jets lost by the final score of 31 to 19 in New Orleans. And, you know, we'll see if Jets can get this W, you know, a week before they face the Patriots. And then on the Giants side, Giants are going to try to rebound from the 34-29 loss at home to the Philadelphia Eagles. So they're going to be, you know, facing, you know, what's your thoughts on the upcoming game, the upcoming game with the Cardinals?
Well, both teams are horrible. You know, they're not going to the playoffs, but this is a game that the Giants should win on paper. You know, Cardinals have Blaine Gabbert, who's up and down. And the Cardinals have a lot of injuries right now, injuries at a wide receiver, running back. So the Giants should win this game tomorrow. But, you know, you've seen some crazy things happen, you know, with this Giants team and their whole season. So, you know, I'm expecting them to win, but you never know.
Yeah, sure. You're absolutely right, man.
But yeah, both of these teams have nothing to play for, so, you know, it's, I guess, you know, it's like Charles Barkley says, like the ugly girl, he says something about the ugly girl fighting the other ugly girl for the good looking guy, something.
You know, Charles Barkley on that nickname on TNT, they joke him, you know, wishing everybody Merry Christmas, you know, when he was with the 76ers. And they were, you know, the other guys were ripping on him, and they were also ripping on Kevin Hart, because Kevin Hart, you know, Kevin Hart was doing an impression of Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
You know, I did have a picture of Shaquille O'Neal, SNL. So they were, you know, ribbing each other, as always, on the show. That was a same thing caught them in mind. But yeah, man, what was your thoughts on the Clash of the Champion pay-per-view event?
I thought it was okay. I mean, there were some things I didn't expect to happen, like Dolph Ziggler winning the US title, and I guess. Well, yeah. I mean, other than that, I guess there wasn't really any shockers. You know, most of the matches I knew that they were gonna go the way I thought. So, but I thought it was an okay pay per view. It wasn't great, but it was okay.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, yeah, I didn't see the pay per view event, but yeah, everything looks like it played out the way we thought it would. You know, Mojo Rawley, he defeated Zack Ryder. I think I called that. I think you thought Zack Ryder was gonna win. Or you said me right.
I don't even remember.
I think you thought Zack Ryder was gonna win, but I thought Mojo Rawley was gonna win. Yeah, we can always check that result next time. Baron Corbin.
I went with Mojo Rawley. Yeah, I did go with Mojo Rawley because I thought WWE was underusing him a bit.
Okay, maybe you were. Maybe you did say that.
Yeah, because remember I was making the case for Mojo that WWE misused him the whole freaking year. Maybe they're trying to give him a push.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you did say that, and I think I said that. I thought it was Zack Ryder since it was going to be a pre-show and, probably a good guy to win. But, yeah, I think you're right.
Zack Ryder's useless at this point. Zack Ryder, I don't even know why Zack Ryder's still in WWE, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he's going to, I assume he's going to eventually leave or get released because WWE killed his momentum that he had like around 2001, with the internet champion, he got himself over, but WWE, they kept his momentum, he had. They didn't capitalize. I mean, I think he did win a ladder match. I think for the Intercontinental title, something like that.
I think.
And I think Miz beat him again the next day or something like that. Or Raw, if I remember something right.
Yeah, I think you're
right. Yeah, WWE is going to go down as a year of failed opportunity of WWE not using talented guys, promoting talented guys, Bray Wyatt, Nakamura, AJ Styles, he had the title, he had the title, late in this year, but he was mostly... in the U.S. title picture, trying to think.
Yeah, they redeemed themselves by giving AJ the title.
Yeah, they definitely redeemed themselves after wasting months with Mahal.
Yeah.
And, you had Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, they all took a step back. Yeah, everybody. I think mostly everybody, they've wasted a lot of talent, this year. I'm sure there's a lot that's I just caught my head. Then you had the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team titles. The Usos retained, of course. All suspected. I mean, we thought it was a possibility New Day could have won, but I think I thought Usos would retain. I think you thought New Day would win.
I don't even remember who I picked for this one.
Well, nevertheless, Usos won, which is not a surprise. Let me see.
I didn't think there were going to be too many upsets, I thought there was going to be most of the champions are going to retain their titles, really.
Absolutely.
But that Dolph Ziggler match, that's the one that stunned me.
Even though he was talking about on Raw, SmackDown, that, he showed all his accolades, being a former champion, former United States, current United States, former Intercontinental, and at the end, after his promo, he looked like he vacated the United States title. It looked like he quit. But, we'll find out soon enough. Because there's been rumors that he's going to leave. Because he's done interviews saying that he's not happy the way they're using him. Which you can't blame him because if you have up-and-coming people lose to him and he's not a championship-caliber guy, them beating him isn't going to be anything, really, amount to anything. Because you expect Dolph Ziggler to lose, even though he's very talented, you know. Then you got the Charlotte Flair versus Natalya Lumberjack SmackDown Women's Championship match. And of course, whatchamacallit, Charlotte got Natalya to tap out, of course, shocker. Then you had Breezango versus the Bludgeon Brothers. You know, this whole year has been leading up to this moment. And, of course, the Bludgeon Brothers, won.
Yep.
No, not a shocker. And then afterwards, you got the highlight of the night, the one that got the most publicity and push was the Shinsuke Nakamura and Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn match. And of course, if Owens and Zayn loses, they would be fired from WWE forever. But of course, Shane and Daniel Bryan were the special guest referees. And basically, Randy Orton looked like he was going to win it. He had an RKO, but Owens pushed, Bryan to Shane to stop the count. And of course, Shane, of course, memorably didn't do the three count, when he had an opportunity, because he explained on SmackDown that he remembered what Owens did to his father during their WrestleMania feud. It was WrestleMania. It was after the it was like a few months ago against the was it SummerSlam? I'm trying to remember. When he injured Vince McMahon. I think that was like around Survivor Series. Not Survivor Series, SummerSlam?
SummerSlam, I think.
But yeah. So he remembered how Kevin Owens infamously beat up on Vince McMahon. Since the Attitude / Ruthless Aggression errors. So Brian, of course, got a fast count, when Zayn got the pin, and as a result, not a shocker, Zayn and Owens win the match and keep their jobs. So, prize there. And then the main event, you got AJ Styles, the WWE champion, versus the challenger, Jinder Mahal, trying to get back his title. And Styles got Jinder Mahal to the calf crusher. So hopefully that should be the end of their feud, because this feud has been going on longer than Moses parting the Red Sea, in the Ten Commandments. And this feud is, I'm tired of seeing them fight each other. I mean, come on, it's like rematch after rematch. Jinder Mahal loses the title, AJ Styles gets the title back. It's like it's going on and on and on. I'm tired.
Yeah, back and forth.
Jeez, will someone win the Royal Rumble and challenge AJ Styles for the title? I guess most likely it'll be John Cena, but I guess we'll see what happens. Because I don't want to see Jinder Mahal competing against AJ Styles again right now. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, give someone else a shot.
Jinder Mahal,
like Rusev or someone,
Exactly. Rusev should have been in the spot of Jinder Mahal this year.
Yeah.
Because he was a imposing threat. He's won titles before. Not the championship, but he's won the United States title. Before. He was a threat. He's paid his dues. I thought Rusev should have won it. And then they could have had Lana and Aiden English accompanying him to the ring.
Yeah.
You know? It'd be like Alberto Del Rio having Ricardo Rodriguez and his limousine, his cars back again. You know? Give him the two best things he has going for him. You know? They should give those stuff back to him and give him a push.
I agree.
But we'll see what happens with that. Now he's a tag team. He formed a tag team with you know, Aiden English called. You haven't heard of the title? The name of the group?
What group?
His tag team with Aiden English. You know the name? Rusev Day.
Oh, yeah.
Called the Rusev.
But that's the name. I thought that was just like a chant that they did, or like a phrase.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the name of the actual group.
They just came up with the name, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. But yeah, it was a chant. But then WWE finally gave them a name, and now they're officially Rusev Day.
Interesting.
And so they got New Day, Rusev Day, and the Usos have that Day One-ish. I mean, these guys are obsessed with days in the on SmackDown. You know? But, yeah, we'll see what happens, whatchamacallit, you know, with WWE. Oh, yeah, by the way, John Cena's coming back for the Christmas.
Of course.
This is the first time Christmas Day and New Year's Day that they're actually having a show. Which, you know, I think that sucks for the employees, especially the talent, you know. They don't have time with their family, man. These guys come over 300 a day out of the 365 a day, man. It's like they gotta travel like at least 5 of the 6 days or so. Like, come on.
Yeah, they're on the road all the time.
I know the top guys are making millions of dollars, but come on, it's like these guys need a break. And then they wonder why these guys are always injured. These guys are wrestling the shows, the live shows, and pay-per-view events. You know, come on. Give these guys a break.
Yeah, well, you know, this is what they sign up for. So, you know, it's part of the business.
Yeah, I hear you. But what was I going to say? Anything you'd like to say, Mac?
Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and check out my show iMac later. Well, shortly here at midnight on Block Talk Radio.
All right, you heard the man. Check out his show, iMac. You know, every early Saturdays, late Saturdays, early Sunday at midnight. Sundays at midnight. And of course, check Sports Urban Legend every Saturdays at 11. But you know, we're not gonna do a show next week, so we'll be back first Saturday of January. So, you know, he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramon, and I want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a Happy New Year in advance. So, thank you guys for the support, and have a great time, guys. Peace.